Hello, and welcome to OTP Volunteer Table, a virtual roundtable where we chat about community theater in Northern Michigan and more. Today is April 20th, 2023. We find ourselves in the office of Phil Murphy, Artistic Director of the Old Town Playhouse and member of the Artistic Committee. The Playhouse has just released their 2023-24 season, and Phil will give us further information about the plays, director applications, and certainly more. Let's chat.
I guess we're off and running. Phil Murphy, thank you so much for this chat.
Sure.
Been a long time.
Yes.
We had you chatted. We chatted with you before, and now maybe a year ago, 2 years ago.
Maybe at the very beginning of this whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it was for your podcast. I don't know that I've ever done your podcast.
That's possible. We did the videos that I was doing a long time ago, where I would do a video before podcast was a podcast, right. Before it was a thing.
Yes, before it was a thing.
So that's good. Yeah, well, then here we are.
Yeah.
So it's your debut, as they say, in the play that goes wrong.
Finally.
All right. Well, we're here to talk about the drum roll, please. The 23-24 season announcement.
You don't really want to talk about that, do you?
All right. Let's just talk. It's an interesting season, it sounds like.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. You know, we went through, the process that we go through for picking the season, if you will, is rather more involving than people would imagine,
right.
To say the least. And then trying to decide, you know, we come down, I think we had in each category that we will look at kind of categories, musicals, family blockbuster, adult, children, that kind of thing. And then we do the same for non-musicals, comedy, drama, suspense, thriller, classic, thought-provoking. And shows, plays that we're reading end up in more than one list often.
Right.
And then we select and we try to draw it down. We do it that way because we have so many people. Not so many. But we have the Artistic Committee, which is a group of seven. And they're all involved in that process. And it gives them a chance to focus on a genre, if you will, without having to initially read everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because that can be overwhelming.
Needless.
With any regularity, I guess.
Right. So you're kind of filtering what's out in the play,
ether.
The ether universe, into something manageable that you not only like, you as a group, I'm talking the Artistic Committee,
sure.
Like and feel that we can do, because there's some things that we can't do because of the structure of the play.
The structure.
Yeah.
The nature of it. Nature. Yeah, we'll tend to avoid those. But, you know, truth be told, there's rarely, in fact, I'd say never in my history here, which goes back now pushing 50 years.
Right.
There's never something that we didn't do. We may not have done it immediately. We may have waited until we had the technology in hand to do it, if you will, but we've never not done something because it was too big.
Well, I wouldn't suggest something to Kerr and Jeff and tell them they can't do it.
Yeah.
So true. Well, we're doing it, and
absolutely.
Now you've thrown the gauntlet.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's see what kind of plays we got here. We're back into some more studio/pop-up theater, which is kind of cool.
We are trying to do some more with that. It's a little tough because we don't have a set home.
That's
why it's now called pop-up theater.
The pop-up.
Because we're not exactly sure where it may live.
Right.
It could be on the apron of our main stage. It could be in our Schmuckle theater. It could be at the Grand Traverse Event Center. It mm-hmm. could be at the new, oh, I can't even think of the, name.
Front Street. Not 8th Street. On the,
The Alluvian. The
Alluvian,
there's the Alluvian. There's, I know Judy Harrison has her place. Something cap. I want to say flow cap or something like that.
Right.
I can't think of the, what they're calling it, but that's another space. You know, so we keep looking. Uh-huh. And ultimately, we'd like to find a permanent home.
Right.
But those are not easy to come by.
It depends on how it plays out. But I kind of like the pop-up idea. Just where are we going next?
Keeps people on their toes.
Yes, it does. Keeps everybody paying attention. But on the main stage, we have Ripcord, Christmas Schooner, Beauty and the Beast. That's our second time. When did we do Beauty last?
2005, almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, it seems like just yesterday.
I know it does. Darn. That's because we've been around too long.
Exactly. Radium Girls. Oh, yeah, that's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. And The Wedding Singer.
Yeah.
So we have two musicals. Is Christmas Schooner a musical?
Christmas Schooner is a musical, a very different kind of musical in the sense that it takes its lead from choral singing, choral music, stylistically.
Right.
It's still, it's a musical. Christmas Schooner is based on a tale of there is a schooner that has for many years, probably 100 or more, I'm guessing. I don't know the origination of it because I don't know it that well. But it's based on a schooner that travels the Great Lakes taking Christmas trees to Chicago. And this is an instance, well, it's more, it's an amalgamation of instances to create the story of the schooner. And it, like I say, it takes its stylistically, its approach from choral music. So it's a little different in that regard. But it's a wonderful Christmas tale, one we've never done, and I don't believe has been done in the city. Although I know they've done it elsewhere around Michigan, and it's done every year in Chicago, where I think it originated. So it's one of those. It's one of those that pops up every now and then.
Right.
And we look at it, and we either take it or we don't. Past years, we've kind of passed on it for something else that we thought was maybe had more oomph, Elf was kind of a no-brainer.
Exactly.
It was in contention that same year, and it just couldn't compete. So when we were looking this year, we decided we definitely wanted to do something more holiday-ish. But that had, fairly broad appeal, for families.
Oh, that's cool. The first one of the season, this one, we haven't gotten the calendar finished yet, right?
We sort of do
now. Well, this is November, December timeframe.
Yes, because I don't have the dates right in front of me.
The earliest, the first one of the season is Ripcord.
Is Ripcord, a comedy that was actually, we had scheduled to do the year we went into pandemic. So it kind of got brushed to the side. And this last year didn't come up quite as readily. So we brought it back as a consideration, and it passed muster with the rest of the crew. It's an interesting tale. It's very funny, but it's about a couple of women in a retirement home, who are really at opposite ends of the spectrum.
Kind of like The Odd Couple is what I kind of look at.
That's a fair assessment. It is a bit of an odd couple. It's certainly a fish out of water story. Mm-hmm. And it's about how they come together and find a way to live happily and successfully in tandem.
Mm-hmm.
And they go on all sorts of wonderful adventures, one dragging the other until things start to shift.
Right.
And then they come together in the final analysis. Wonderful play by David Lindsay Abaire, who's really had a good, solid history of work in New York. And we've done a number of his plays over the years, Funny mm-hmm. Mirrors. You know, so this one is very approachable. There's nothing surprising in that.
Right.
It's, you know, it's not way out by any means, right. But it has a very contemporary comedic feel to it. And I think that these days, most comedies tend to balance with some dramatic intent,
right?
More than straight comedy. You get few play that goes wrong of shows these days. Farce is redefining itself in plays like The Play That Goes Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a more comic look at serious topics,
right.
That of aging and, you know, things that are relevant to us today. Certainly Ripcord is in that regard.
Right. That'll be September-ish.
That's September, mid-September. I want to say it opens like around the 22nd of September.
Right. Somewhere around there. And then we go to Beauty and the Beast after Christmas.
After Christmas. And well,
sooner we go to Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. And that's in February.
Right.
And we have done it before. But, you know, even though it seems to us like it was just yesterday, most folks around here didn't see it, don't know anything about it.
Right.
So for them, for the people who participate here, it's, you know, fresh territory.
Right.
We always said we'd try not to duplicate a show or redo a show within a 10-year span of time. That's really come closer to 15 to 20.
Right.
I mean, we've done Fiddler three times over the years, and each one was 17 years apart.
Right.
And for most people, it seemed like forever.
Right.
You know, I've been in all three of them from my days as a young man now to my days as an old man.
And then moving on to Radium Girls.
Right. Radium Girls. Interesting piece, drama, and it's about the young girls, teenage girls, who worked in watch factories putting the phosphorescence that lit our, mm-hmm. you know, there are people around who still remember watches that glowed in the dark.
Right.
Well, they did, and so did the girls. And it killed them.
Yeah.
You know, it was a very serious time that was kind of swept away.
Mm-hmm.
And that story has come to light. And it's a very powerful piece, very moving piece. I think people will enjoy it in the
in that other sense of
enjoyment.
So that's
satisfactory and fulfilling.
That's pretty much the only drama we have.
In
the main stage.
So. That's correct. Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting. It's an interesting piece to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Then The Wedding Singer.
The Wedding
Singer. Round it out sometime in May, I guess.
Yeah. Actually, I think it opens the very first week in May and runs through the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
Is
this based on the movie?
Absolutely based on the movie. The Wedding Singer, Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore.
Mm-hmm.
Popular movie in the 90s. And it became a Broadway show, at least a decade ago. This probably 15 years old, and we've never done it.
Yeah.
It's got great music. It's got a rock score. It's very much of its time. And even though it's not the first thing on my, you know, kind of flip cards, if you will, what do they call those things? Rolodex.
Rolodex.
It's not, you know, it's not top of my tickler file, if you will. That has more to do with my age than anything else.
Right.
Because the people who are really running the theater here these days, much younger, as I am often reminded of.
Those young whippersnappers.
Yeah, just like we were.
We were when we pushed the old ones out.
That's right. And we did the same thing.
That's the way it works.
Yep. And
doesn't mean we have to be happy about it.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. You know, but they're not kids. They're 40 years old. And it's time for them to be doing the work that they connect to. And that's something that is starting to happen with some of this. I'm not always as familiar as I once was with the opus, the dramatic opus, if you will. The catalog, so to speak, because these days it's much tougher, you know, and we're finding it tougher to find the kinds of things that we hope will appeal to our audience, which is an older demographic, and at the same time has an appeal to that younger demographic, the participants. They don't want to do Oklahoma.
Right.
You know, and if we were to put it on, they probably wouldn't audition for it unless they were just desperate to get back on stage. So it's the time of that cultural, like a cultural shift I mentioned earlier, that we have to look to. And we're starting to look at the plays that speak to that slightly younger demographic.
Mm-hmm.
That's soon going to be the primary.
Right. You know? Right.
And that's, of course, seen far more specifically in our pop-up season.
Right. And speaking of pop-up season, we got
nice
Marion
Trippe
and moving right along. So we have Marion, the True Tale of Robin Hood. Is this the humor one?
Well, yes.
This
yes.
is a comedy.
It's funny, but it's also... It's thought-provoking as well, because it deals with a feminist mentality, if you will, comes at the story from a whole different perspective, and certainly from Marion's perspective.
Right, right.
I mean, she's the star. Robin Hood exists because of Marion in this context.
Right.
And it's very funny. It's very funny. And it's quirky. It's contemporary, and it's not this old tale just told from Marion's perspective. It uses comedy and cultural connections that are far more contemporary, and so hence, it's here.
And then Circle Mirror
Transformation.
That's a nice.
Yeah.
Mouthful.
That's a play by Annie Baker, one of her more popular shows. She's a very intriguing playwright who is shaking things up. And not in a, you know, not in a dark way or anything like that, but she is she's a very good playwright who finds her voice in a whole different world than we are typically used to, and that's the world that Circle Mirror Transformation resides in.
I just read the little blurb on it, a play that delves into relationships within a community theater workshop held at the Grand Traverse Events Center. And it's being held at the Grand Traverse Events Center.
Yes.
But the way I read it, it was a play about at Grand Traverse in the Traverse City. Oh, boy. Apparently not. Last but not least is TBD.
Yes. We're kind of mixing it up a little bit, going back to something we used to do, which was the directors came to us with plays they wanted to do. So we're instead of just picking the plays for the studio season, we also have one where directors get to pitch us on their ideas. And we hope that that starts to open up more over time. I expect we will do this every year. So we don't know what's going to be in that third slot at this point.
You're just going to have people, directors coming in with...
Well, for anybody that saw Cry It Out, that was a prime example that we did this year. Ashley Mugnolo came to us with her pitch. She was not alone. There were others. But she was the one that her pitch was selected, her play. And so it's the same. We're going through that same process. I think we had four or five who put in last year for this slot. And I expect we will experience
some. It was a fun play. A good play.
Yeah, it was.
Well done. So then segue number two, into directors. We are right now in the director's application stage.
Yes.
We've got the season picked. We're looking for directors.
That's correct.
What's the process? What should a director, should they decide they want to do one of these, submit?
Apply.
The
there is an application form. It's right on the web. It's on the website. It's on the. You can access it via the main page, via news, via Engage. There are a number of ways to get to it. But yes, you want to. There's a show synopsis there of the main stage. I don't have the one up for the studio yet. That should go up shortly. Because right now we're only worrying about we're only finding directors for main stage. Studio will follow shortly on its heels. So there's an application there, which we ask people to fill out, and we hope that they, you know, what we want is for them to come to us and tell us about their vision for the show, how they see it, and we'll select from that. Oftentimes, we'll have more than one person interested in directing a show, and hence we hold interviews subsequent to the application process, and that'll happen. I guess we go early June. Actually, I take that back. It's mid-May that we're going to actually have. I have all this stuff on there. You think I'd remember it?
Right.
Applications are due, finally due May 8th, and we will follow the next week with interviews on the 15th and 16th, and we'll bring everybody in, and they have 20 minutes to talk to us, tell us, you know, we want to know who their production team will be, if they're able. If they're not, we're happy to try and help them put a, you know, production team together if they're selected. But it's always good to know that people are thinking already in that vein, and they have those people in mind, at least. And they usually do. You know, a director will usually at least have a, you know, probably a producer, stage manager, and or assistant director. And then they'll flesh out from there as they talk to people and see who's interested in doing, you know, lights for it or, takes a village.
But you don't need to if you're, and what are the qualifications for a director? What do they have to, first of all, do they have to have been director here? Or can they bring in those credentials from somewhere else?
They can bring their credentials from elsewhere.
Okay.
And we'll talk to them about it and see where they are. Most of the people who apply to direct have directed here at one time or another. We encourage people, if you haven't directed at all, to approach the studio pop-ups first, Now, that doesn't mean that's easier. It's equally challenging, but they are definitely a more black box, minimal approach.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the same kind of budget. There are other restrictions, and it helps them to, you know, kind of get situated. You know, there's a lot riding on our main stage shows financially, and in terms of quality. And we shoot, you know, for the highest quality we are able to produce.
Right.
And that, you know, anybody who's been here in the last decade or so, a couple of decades, knows that, you know, technically we are very sound.
Right.
And we've done a lot of upgrades that most people know nothing about. You know, we have new sound system, new mm-hmm. light system. We're transitioning into the LED world.
Right.
And most of our lights, if not close to all of them, are now LEDs. We utilize projections more efficiently each time, every year.
Everywhere.
They get better, you know.
Yep.
I mean, we've even talked about, what do they call them, monitor walls.
An LED system, you know, wall yeah. system, yeah.
You know, we've even looked into that. Still, I think a little out of our reach. I mean, it's I think the wall is easily a $10,000 proposition, probably more than that, I'm guessing. So, you know, we're building toward those things. So, as I say, there's a lot riding on mm-hmm. our main stage productions, and we are more cautious about putting somebody on the stage unless we know them and we know their work in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
This season was an exceptional way of looking at that, if you will. Carla Fishburne, who just did The Play That Goes Wrong, did a very fine job with it as a director. She's been a stage manager for 25 years here, Chicago, elsewhere. Her background in stage management allows us to have greater trust
right.
in the fact that she knows what it takes to put on a show and to put one on the main stage, and that, you know, she'll come at it. And certainly she did. She walked in our door to direct last year and had her entire production team. She was mm-hmm. prepared. Was going to be pretty hard to turn her down.
Right, right.
You know, and that's, you know, that is, you know, there's no question that we look for that.
Right, right.
The other thing, Katie Clark, who's directing Something Rotten, she's a first-time director.
Mm-hmm.
But she grew up through the Young Company system. I mean, I directed her in Mulan back in 2009, and she was a little, you know, a young tween, I think, at that time.
Right.
And now she's, you know, well into, you know, her 20s and has brought a great deal of experience as a choreographer, as a teacher, you know. So she comes to us from a totally different place, also as a performer. So she knows her way around mm-hmm. our stage. She knows her way around a theatrical production.
So if people don't have that history, you still have a support team who are perfectly willing to show you who's available and join in to make sure that if you're chosen, mm-hmm. you are supported as a director. You're supported with all the other tools
yes.
that you need.
Yes. Yeah, we want people to understand that it's not mandatory that you know everybody and know your way
mm-hmm.
in. But as I say, if it's a first-time directorship and you don't have fairly extensive experience, you're not going to get selected
right.
for
right.
the main stage. You might have a much greater chance of being selected to do something in the studio.
Mm-hmm. And we have three shows in the studio, 5 in main stage.
Right. Plus we have the Young Company, Age to Perfection has 3 productions planned for next season, 3 weekends
mm-hmm.
of Reader's Theater Performance next season. You've got the Young Company, of course, which is, what do they got going? They've got Puffs in January, Finding Nemo Jr. in the spring, and they do the Holiday Cabaret, which has become more expansive each year. Started out with four singers. Now they've got a
They had ten this
last year, yeah. And they're planning to continue to develop that idea because it's a nice way to do something at the holidays that's family friendly, fun, and is not a full show. It's an hour-long Christmas entertainment,
right?
Christmas enchantment, if you will. It's less expensive and it's approachable. It's something families can do.
Family stuff.
Yeah.
All right, we're just wrapping it up. What do we want to know for the mainstay for the season? We need directors and apply. Go to the web page and apply. Mm-hmm. Regardless of your capability, just apply, get the audition, and
find out what it's about.
Get the whole ball of wax in there.
Yeah.
And then get involved in that respect, because mm-hmm. you can always get involved afterwards with the directors.
Right.
Then you can become one of the team members doing some technical or onstage work.
Sure. And in the past, just as a little side note, in the past, one of the things that we have done is we will occasionally ask people to, if they don't have extensive experience, to hook up with someone who has more experience, who might be desirous of directing that show, maybe as an assistant director or as a stage manager, to get involved and see how it works, see what a production is all about. You know, play that goes wrong has, you know. It's six or seven or eight people on stage, and it's got the 200 people that made it happen.
Right, right.
You know, and that's what people don't see. You know, with musicals, they're even bigger. We get sometimes 20 to 40 people on that stage, and those are just the actors.
Right, right.
And you have all the backstage people that are...
And all the construction and everybody else.
Building.
Yeah, if you're interested in getting involved, there's a place. We got a role for you.
We have a role for you, yes.
Phil Murphy, thanks so much for the chat.
Sure, anytime.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Phil, for an enlightening chat. If you want to apply to direct one of the plays, visit the Playhouse website at oldtownplayhouse.com/events. There you will find the application for director and synopsis of the main stage plays, plus references to the pop-up plays. Submissions due by May 8th with interviews the following week, so haste is a virtue here. If directing is not your forte, but theater is, the Playhouse has a role for you, whether on stage or backstage. If you have an interest in learning more about volunteer opportunities, fill out the online form at oldtownplayhouse.com and we will contact you to discuss your role at the Playhouse. OTP Volunteer Table is produced in cooperation with the Old Town Playhouse of Traverse City, Michigan. If you have comments or would like to tell your story, send an email off to office@oldtownplayhouse.com. Our music today is Talkies by Humma Humma. This is the OTP Volunteer Table, and I am Don Guilhorn, and we will see you on the boards.